Welcome to The Scrub Life, a podcast for and about the incredible profession of surgical technology. I'm Chris Blevins, and our mission at The Scrub Life is to educate the public about surgical technology. Each episode dives into the wonderful world of surgery, where we inform and hopefully entertain our listeners while interviewing amazing individuals within the field and presenting the hot topics everyone wants to know more about. We've now partnered with the Association of Surgical Technologists to help us expand our conversations, bolster our engagement, and bring further awareness to the surgical technology profession. CSTs are an integral part of the sterile team that cares for patients in the operating room. Learn more about this exciting field, the immense effort that goes into educating future CSTs, and how you too can become a ninja of the OR. Now, without further ado, here's the latest episode of the Scrub Life Podcast. So thank you everyone for joining us today. I am very excited about our guest, and I want to speed right along to introductions because I can do a lot of talking about you, Hank, but I think that you'd be better served by doing it. So thank you, Hank Balch from Beyond Clean and the sterile processing world. Thank you for joining me today. Very grateful.
It's an honor. Yeah, it's a pleasure. And this interview has been a couple of years in the making, I think. So it's nice to finally get in studio and have this conversation. So my background, I am a sterile processing guy at heart. I started in 2009, kind of randomly, like a lot of folks do, was working second shift at a Walmart in Louisville, Kentucky. In grad school at the time, and just, you know, stocking shelves, getting through. And I had a buddy who happened to help a guy move that was in class. And he was a supervisor of a sterile processing department there in town. And he asked him, "Hey, do you know anybody who's looking for a job?" And that guy was working with me at Walmart at the time. He said, "I'm looking for a job." And then, so he got the job first. And then he's like, "And my buddy, he would also be interested." And so he brought me over there in 2009. It's kind of random. I was, at the time I was engaged, you know, sad story, won't go into, but the engagement broke off, but I was looking for a job. It was going to give me benefits because I was like, "Hey, I'm about to get married. Like, I need benefits," or whatever. And so I do the interview, get the job offer, but between the time I got the offer and I start, the engagement actually broke off. So I'm like, "Well, here I am, anyways."
You heard that, like, one door closes and another one opens, you know. So no differentiation between, like, personal and professional there. Yeah,
exactly.
Way to jump through that door. I think. Did you ever think then that, you know, how did your sterile processing career evolve into what you're able to do today?
I was definitely not viewing it as a career. Like, my path at that point was into law school. Like, I was just about getting done with my graduate degree, and I knew I wanted to go into law school. And so I needed a job that, you know, had benefits, was flexible on the shift work.
Yeah.
And it also helped that the hospital had a tuition reimbursement program. And I was like, this is great. Like, I never had a job with benefits, with paid time off, with all those kind of perks.
You were adulting hard.
Yeah, right. Yeah. It's time to become an adult.
Right. I know.
But, you know, I got in, as I said, and, you know, long story short, ended up graduating grad school, started law school, did my first year, went into my second year, and that entire time I'm still working through sterile processing. And it was in that second year of law school that it finally flipped for me of, hey, I've got a decision to make now. Yeah. I don't really enjoy this law school thing. I'm not that good at it. Like I was like middle of my class, right? Not the worst, definitely not the best, but it was like, do I want to keep pushing myself this direction? Or I'm enjoying more and more of the sterile processing work. I'm kind of good at it, in addition to kind of leading teams and such. And so I said, well, I could potentially pivot now, quit law school, and then dedicate at least the short term in a sterile processing. Right? Still at that point, I didn't know, like, am I going to do this for my life's career? Yeah. And as fate would have it, my manager at that time took a job in Florida at an HCA facility down there. Mm-hmm. And so that was at the same time that I'm like deciding, do I stick with this or do I not? And I threw my hat in for the manager position, and that's kind of what closed the deal for me. And I haven't looked back since.
I think sometimes we're attracted to different things. You know, some of us go into the operating room because of the schedule. Some of us go in because, you know, the anatomy portion of it. What was it about sterile processing? Is it the, you seem to me like a processes guy, like mm-hmm. you know, the way things work. And was that part of the attraction for sterile processing for you?
I do give off that kind of process vibe, but that's actually like, I'm probably less
very
of a process
good
guy.
You're very good at explaining it. And maybe that's why go. I think that way. Cause I have totally, you know, I already confessed like major fangirl of Beyond Clean. I've listened to the podcast myself. So right. Yeah, you are very methodical in your explanations. So,
well, I'll tell you, to answer a question that you did not ask first, and then I'll get back to the one that you did ask. So my business partner at Beyond Clean, who started just as my co-host, Justin Poulin, mm-hmm. He is the process guy. He's got a structure for everything. Like he's got a plan for everything, strategy for everything. I'm this kind of like crazy off the wall creative guy who like, I've got a million ideas always rattling around. Like half of them I do, half of them I forget that I ever even had that idea to begin with by the time it comes to do anything. And then with our powers combined, it created this podcast like that we'll end up talking about, you know, here in a little bit, I'm sure. But yeah. All that to say, back into that sterile processing piece, what hooked me was opportunity. Mm. I had an undergraduate in agricultural development, you know, nothing to do with healthcare. I had a graduate degree in theology, nothing to do with healthcare. I was in law school, nothing to do with healthcare. So like, I literally could have gone a million different directions, and I decided to go in sterile processing because I was already there, you know, present. So like the opportunity was in front of me, but I realized how loose many of our processes and best practices were across the country, like not just at our facility, but I realized like this is an industry that really you can make tremendous impacts on. Like one person can really impact this industry if they commit to it. And I committed at the local level in our department to become and build the best department that we possibly could be there in Louisville, Kentucky. And then, you know, from that, I've continued kind of that fire of the opportunities around us. There's a lot of work to do in SPD to improve the process. Yeah. And, you know, here we are in 2022, and there's still just as much opportunity today as there was back in 2009.
And that's got to feel good to know that you are making a difference. And it's, I think there's a domino effect, especially in sterile processing, where what you do affects literally the patient on the table. And I think that that's tremendously important. And I think sterile processing doesn't get the respect that it deserves and should. But you guys are working your way towards those goals and you're making a lot of headway. I need a Justin in my life because you and I are very similar. I've got a whole train happening up in my head and we need, Justin needs a doppelganger, I think.
Well, the reason I told that story to answer that other question, you know, kind of goes back to what we've accomplished. And mm-hmm. I realized that very early on in my career, even as like my first sterile processing manager job I mentioned, yeah, the job is too big for one person. And I've even written this like in articles and such before. But if you look like through the eyes of administrators, they want the jack of all trades who can just come in like that master to come in and just fix everything. That one person who's going to solve all their problems, if it's a broken apartment, if it's a broken culture, like they're looking for that one person to do it. But what they don't realize is it's impossible for one person to do it. It is a team sport.
It's definitely a team sport in the operating room, which, you know, we can talk about that relationship here in a minute. But how did you convey that team aspect to your administration? I would imagine you surrounded yourself with rock stars, right? That's the goal.
That's the goal. If you want to be able to clock out and go home and enjoy your life as a department leader, you need to surround yourself with capable, critical thinking team members who kind of own the process themselves. Like going back to the process piece, I never wanted to be, and frankly, I couldn't be the boss that knew everything. I wanted to be the boss who knew how to hire good people, and those good people knew what they needed to do their jobs. And it was my job to support them, to give them the training, give them the resources, give them the budget. That's what I worked hard to do. And it really served our departments well. It served me well. And kind of that whole Michael Dell quote, there's a lot of like different people who supposedly said this, you know, but never be the smartest person in the room. You always want to have everybody else around you is here, and then you're a little bit lower, but you're learning from them. But that way, you know, you're in the right room because they're going to help improve the process even more than you could by yourself.
Absolutely. That training aspect you just mentioned, I definitely want to talk about it now because of that. Like, it was your blogs and the creation of that kind of guideline for best practices for your teams that ultimately led you to Beyond Clean, right? Will you talk about those early days?
Yeah. It was a wilderness out there on LinkedIn and, you know, social media in general, but LinkedIn in particular in 2012, 2013, when I first got my first manager job and I looked around as a new young manager, like, okay, now I'm here and I realized,
now what?
I was telling someone the other day, like, you always want to be that leader. Like, not everyone wants to be a leader, you know, but you want to be the leader. You get the job and then you realize there's no one else above you to ask a question of, like, now you're the one who has to have all the answers to the question, but nothing magical happens when you get that promotion or when you sit behind the desk. You don't have secret ideas. You don't have a little book that you're like, is what we need to do.
If you're an IFU for that job, that's right. That would be key.
Exactly. So in that moment, I kind of started looking around and I'm like, well, let me read out there. Like, what have other managers written, or like, what are some other best practices? And in 2012, 2013, in sterile processing, there's a lot of technical information. There were people out there talking about guidelines. There were people out there talking about IFUs back then. But outside of that, like, who's talking about leadership? Who's talking about culture? Who's talking about conflict resolution? Who's talking about developing your frontline technicians into excellent technicians and building career ladders? And the answer was nobody was doing that. So I'm sitting here thinking, like, well, if I got to go through this process and teach myself, I might as well write and teach others along the way. Mm-hmm. And I started doing that in 2013 on LinkedIn pretty heavily. And as you said, through the years, it just snowball, more and more folks started paying attention, getting engaged and connected. And to make a really long story really short, 2017, 2018, I was nominated for the president of ISHM. At that time, it was called ISHM. It's now called HSPA, which is a national organization for sterile processing technicians, similar to AST. Mm-hmm. And I ran. There was three of us running. It was so close. I had to do a runoff again. I ended up losing the election. But it was that summer that the guy who would end up becoming my co-founder of the podcast, he reached out and said, Hank, I've been seeing your stuff on LinkedIn, and I saw that you're kind of a thought leader in this space. Have you ever thought about doing a podcast about sterile processing? And I was like, I've thought about it, but just like I told you before, I couldn't do it by myself. Exactly. So what are you thinking? And the rest is history. Like, we launched it in August of 2017, it'll be 5 years this August. And it has just, it's been crazy to see the growth and the response. And yeah, it really was great timing.
Well, congratulations on that. And I know, you know, luck is a good thing, but hard work has really paid off, and you've surrounded yourself with amazing people. We Beyond Clean is doing great things for the world of sterile processing, and we're going down the path in surgical technology, but the relationship between the sterile processing technician and the certified surgical technologist is critical. Hmm. You know, if we don't take care of the instruments on our end and give them to you in a hot mess, you know, that doesn't help your processes and the efficiency. And also, you know, we can't have all the sterile technique in the world, but if the instrumentation isn't sterile to begin with, then all of that's for naught. But what's right. your take on the relationship between the OR and SPD?
Mm-hmm. I love this question because a lot of the content that I put together, that we write, that we do on the podcast, we do at our conferences and such, is on that question of relationship, culture, just people. You know, we're all people. And what's interesting, like at the beginning of this, there's people who come into healthcare with a plan to become either a sterile processing technician or a surgical technologist. Right. And what happens is they end up, you know, getting into those roles or getting into the training programs. And then many of them say, nope, I don't want to do that. I actually want to do the other one, mm-hmm. and vice versa.
Yeah.
So that kind of genesis story is interesting because it connects us even deeper than a lot of the other parts and departments that we serve and customers that we work with in the healthcare setting. Like, we actually wanted each other's jobs at some point, or actually ended up, you know, coming into each other's jobs at some point.
Yeah.
And like a large percentage of the surgical techs out there actually do the job of sterile processing as well, because they're the one man or the one woman show, and they're in the OR doing it. And then they follow that tray back to the decontamination area and begin the process all over.
Yeah. So, ambulatory surgery centers. And then, you know, we have, I'm an educator, and we have some facilities where, yeah, the surgical technologist does a week in sterile processing, and then they do a week in the OR, and they all rotate. You know, in those places that have only a few operating rooms. So it's critical to me that we spend 18 months to 24 months learning our position, and then we turn around and we, you know, sometimes do a shift in sterile processing where I promise you there's only been maybe one or two chapters of the textbook, and we know the names of the instruments, and that's it. Like our education on the job of a sterile processing technician is minimal at best. Mm-hmm. We just mm-hmm. know what we're not supposed to break and what we are, you know, what goes right. together. How I think that to me is scary. I think more scary than the fact that there are certain sterile processors out there that aren't being certified.
No. Yeah, that fear factor is mainly where there's an assumption of competence, either on the part of the surgical technologists themselves or on the part of the operating room manager or whoever it is that's assigning them to go do those duties. Yeah. That's where the fear factor comes in. What's interesting, actually, just this week, there's a interview that I did year or so ago on the First Case podcast, talking about the interfacing between sterile processing and the OR nurse. And I said something very similar. It's like, hey, a lot of my departments, there was pressure when it's slow in the OR. Mm-hmm. They didn't want to send the nurses home. So like, what do we have them to do? Oh, well, there's always trays down in SPD, like send the nurses down there. That's easy, right? And what inevitably would happen, now this is not a knock against our great OR nurse partners and such, but this is a safe space because they're not here on this podcast.
It totally is. Yeah. Your secret is safe with me, Hank.
Exactly. That same assumption, mm-hmm. and perhaps even more so, on many of the parts of these nurses, they feel like, you know, because they've got their CNOR, for instance, well, now I'm qualified, like, you know, sterilization, yeah, how hard is it to just rinse some things off, you know, stick in a washer, wrap it up, and you're done? And I had to, as a department leader, you know, draw the line many times and be like, guys, sterile processing is not the place to get some extra hours or get some overtime hours or just, you know, get hours without going home. Like, there is expertise that's required here. We are experts in our own right. We don't, you know, float up into the OR room and start doing cases because right. that's not
you
our
know
job.
What a cryo is like close enough. Yeah. You stayed at a Holiday Inn, right?
Like you got Holiday Inn Express last night. Yeah, that's exactly right. So it's not just a sterile processing surgical tech challenge, I think, but because we're even closer to the instrumentation, like both of our teams, I can understand why that assumption is there. So I think it's very important, like you said, to just highlight, hey, we do different things. We yeah. have different training. And even though there's some overlap, it's not to the extent that either one of us can immediately do each other's jobs without additional training. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and you know, that I won't age myself too bad, but it's been a while since I went to school and we used to use all stainless steel instrumentation. Everything was open. You know, I always say the good old days where we yeah. cut you open and figure it out, you know, right. but that's not the case. There are so many, there's so many advances in technology and we have lasers and we have cameras and robotic pieces. And each one of those has their own special handling instructions, you know, those IFUs
right.
And methods for processing. And I think that, you know, that in itself takes specific training, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. Not just as a sterile process. I would imagine that right. when you're in sterile processing, you do get certified, you do get educated, you still have those things that you have to learn.
And it's changing, right? So yeah. to Beyond Clean, a large part of our value into the space is continuing education. Well, you know, continuing education is not just that thing that you check off so that you can keep your certification current. It's because things are changing continually. And, you know, going back to your point, even if there was training on onboarding and such at the level of a surgical tech to say, hey, like, this is what you do with these instruments, this is the equipment that you do down sterile processing, now you're trained. Well, 1 year later, 2 years later, guidelines change, instrument change, equipment changes, Joint Commission starts looking at different things. Those things change. And if that's not your primary role, it's very, very easy to miss those updates and keep doing it the same way that you're doing it. And I'll tell you, because we do consulting for our company too, mm-hmm. I'm finding all the time when we're in hospitals, we're asking those questions 99% of the time, it's not because they started doing the wrong thing. It's because they were doing the right thing at one point, but then everything else changed around them and they didn't get the memo.
Yeah. They
yeah. So yeah. It's the same thing. You constantly have to be plugged into what's going on in your space. And for both of these industries, sterile processing mm-hmm. and surgical tech, there's a lot changing.
Right.
And you got to be plugged in or you're going to miss it.
Well, I also remember, do you remember the big news stories about the ERCPs and,
yeah.
and, you know, infection happening because of those scopes not being processed in the elevator in there? You know, there is a real impact. It's not just checking the box, like, you know, the processing these instruments and these scopes and et cetera, right? They really do have an impact directly on the patient. And I think that should be our focus all the time, whether we're in sterile processing, whether we're the circulator, the scrub, you know, all of us should be focused on taking the best care of the patient. And ignorance is not bliss. Both of us have a legal background. My undergrad is in criminal justice and right. Okay. Ignorance is not a defense.
Right. Right.
So
yeah.
It's not going to save you ultimately. Yeah. We have opportunities for continuing education credits through AST. And you all have developed so many opportunities for continuing education credits for sterile processing. I want to get into what you all have developed as a micro-credential, but before we talk about that, will you just talk about those CE credit opportunities that you have through beyondclean.net?
We have developed what I believe is if not the largest, almost the largest library of free CE content in the world as it relates to sterile processing content. So we've got a ton of podcasts. I think we've episode 500 crossed a couple of weeks ago. We got a ton of articles that are approved for CE credit. We do virtual conferences every month on average that we're creating anywhere from 6 to 10 new CEs. So we're pumping out CEs definitely faster than any other group in the space today. Like I said, we got a library that's now pretty large because we're 5 years into this and we're just continuing to rapidly add because there's so many conversations to have. There's so much to educate around, all the cultural stuff, all the technical stuff. It's just endless opportunity. And that's what we spend the majority of our days creating. So yeah, that's all free. There's no registration required. And a lot of it is even available out through social media. So like we got a YouTube channel, for instance. So you just watch the videos if you don't care about the CEs, but they're all tailored to count also for CE credit as well.
That's amazing. I love that. And I think that people should take advantage of it, especially if you are in one of those smaller centers. I think COVID did a lot for us. You know, our elective procedures were down. Mm-hmm. And so we dispersed into other areas of the hospital. And, you know, I'm sure sterile processing was no different. There are so many opportunities for us to be a better assistance to you as opposed to a hindrance. And one of the things that I would love for you to talk in detail about is the micro-credential opportunity that you all have. And I think that the entire surgical team could benefit from participating in this. Talk to me a little bit about that. I want to learn more about the Beyond Clean Sterile Processing micro-credential.
So that actually, the dream started prior to COVID, COVID as it did for a lot of things, you know, we had to pivot a little bit, but built into the ethos of our team at Beyond Clean, and just like a lot of what's going on in the industry today is collaboration. We realized if we're going to do this well, we can't just educate in isolation of everybody else on that perioperative continuum. We need to pull people in. One of our taglines at Beyond Clean is we fight dirty. Well, the we is important. That's not it doesn't just happen to sound good. Like we could have easily said, I fight dirty, and it also be true. But the we is there because we cannot do our jobs without your team. We can't do our jobs without the OR team. We can't do our jobs without the purchasing team. We are in this together. We have to fight dirty together. And so prior to COVID, we had a conference series kind of kick off called Fighting Dirty Together. And in that, we were pulling in infection prevention. We were pulling in that surgical technology voice and insight and into the OR space, into administrative leadership, trying to get the whole group together and say, what are the challenges, you know, particularly that's facing sterile processing, but that touches all these other teams. We realized if you look across the landscape and how we certify ourselves, we got sterile processing certifications. We've got the surgical tech certifications. We've got the CNOR, the operating room nurse certifications. Mm-hmm. And nary the twain shall meet. Okay.
It's top secret clubs.
Yes.
Absolutely.
All the secret knowledge. Right. So when we sat down and we saw that and we began seeing that through the conferences and just getting all the feedback that people had never heard these things before because they've never been taught. They didn't know them in their own certification programs. We decided, hey, let's create not a certification because that's got like all the accreditation that's involved in that whole process. We want to create one step down, which is called a micro-credential, that's open to everyone on the perioperative team. And I'm including like the patient care assistants, the EVS, the surgeon, anesthesia, the techs, all the way down in sterile processing, anybody that impacts that patient's flow through and from surgery can take this micro-credential to learn about specifically the impact that cross-contamination has in potentially harming these patients. So what's unique about the program, it's a 10-hour curriculum that walks through a lot of the technical information that we learn through various certification programs and textbooks, but it forces the learner to apply that to their daily life and to ask questions that really bring it home. So we got a lot of personal stories. We've got a great session on there about a gentleman that contracted MRSA, and just kind of talk through like, what impact did this have on his life and on his family? And like, how did it happen? And what could have stopped it? And what can we do tomorrow to stop it? And I'll tell you, the feedback has been tremendously humbling.
Wow.
Because folks have, they've come into it for a lot of different reasons from a lot of different positions in hospital, but they've all come in and come out and said, wow, that course caused me to think about my job in a way that I've just never been asked to think about it before. Like, we all know that personal connection. That's why we're in healthcare.
Yeah.
But our certification programs don't do a good job of connecting the human factor to the knowledge factor. We almost split that off and say, now you need to know all the technical, all the best practice, and then we'll get you certified. And then you go do that human thing, like on your day to day. So we try to integrate the two through this program.
You and I, when we spoke previously, you've already used the term curriculum, and you really designed it to be a college course that is kind of interactive and does force them to critically think. What is it like being on the teaching side of it? You know, I see all the benefit that we're getting. It's probably an eye-opening or a learning opportunity for you guys too.
Yeah. So the majority of the grading is done by the developer of the course, who's on our team, Lisa McCown. Awesome. And, you know, Lisa has shared a lot of the student papers and the feedback that we've gotten to their program. And let me just say, there's been some tears, you know, on just like, this is really, this is real life. Like, we know this is real life because we see the patients every day. Like, we know, like, it is actually impacting people. But to connect that again, like I said earlier, to curriculum, to education, to training, and it's not a true or false, and it's not a multiple choice. It's a, what do you think about this, and how does this information going to change what you do tomorrow? It's a whole nother level that we didn't anticipate. Like, we went in intentionally trying to create this, but we didn't know that it was going to work, and that people were going to receive it and respond to it. So it's been humbling, but also energizing to know that we are onto something, that there is a hunger and a need for it. And I think we're just scratching the surface of potential training education opportunities like this.
Sometimes I think the hardest thing is that you don't know what you don't know. Like, you don't know the questions to ask or the steps that you need to take, you know, to educate yourself. And this is a perfect framework for leading someone down that path so that they can get that knowledge to then be able to ask the questions and dive deeper. And also, what I've really, you guys have made it so affordable. I definitely think that you get way more return for your investment as a student in this micro-credential. It's what, $100 around?
Yeah, $99. And the kind of the butt weight, there's more,
of course,
you know, part of that is we're also looking to build outside our completing the micro credential. Then what happens next? Like, we don't want people to just have this awesome experience to go back and apply it. We want that to happen, but we also want something else to happen. And that something else is trying to cultivate a community of folks that have all been through the program and all have shown that commitment and that interest in going deeper in their career and going deeper into improving the industry at large. And so we're looking to build groups outside of that micro-credential program to pull all these disciplinary, interdisciplinary folks together and say, how can we continue to work and be creative about other ways to educate, events, training, CEs, you name it, it's all on the table. But I think it starts with getting that group active and engaged out of the program.
Well, and you can, it's a Beyond Clean Alumni Association.
Right.
Which, you know, is awesome.
We'll get your rings and t-shirts.
There you go.
Yeah, right. It'll be
please
awesome.
Don't make me wear the hood. It's so hot. Every time I have to wear it. Yeah. No, I think that's great. And I think that that kind of summary of what we've all talked about today, which is that it takes a team. Right. And it takes a team of well-educated folks who are patient-minded and just want to get better so that we take better care of our patient. This is an absolutely well-lit path towards doing that.
Yeah.
Thank you for meeting with me today. I really loved it. And we could go down so many other kind of rabbit holes when we talk about
it. Yeah, there's a lot to chat about. Yeah.
No, there's so much. So we'll have to have a follow-up. Absolutely. But
right.
I really appreciate what you're doing on the podcast and what you're doing mm-hmm. for your profession. And
I'll echo that too. And, you know, to your audience, I think there's massive potential to continue to grow in the podcast space, in surgical technology, in the social media space, for how content is communicated and delivered across your team. So this is the beginning. Mm-hmm. And hopefully, yeah, like Beyond Clean has shown a model and a way to do it in sterile processing that you can use also to grow this space. But I truly believe that at the other end of social media, yeah. are not just numbers and icons, it's people. And so all of this is impacting people, and that's what it's all about.
Yeah, I love it. And I know how to reach you, so you know that I will rack your brain.
Sounds good.
We're just now on this path. What Hank is referring to is we're just officially now the in partnership with the Association of Surgical Technologists. So you guys have definitely led the way with what you all have done, and hopefully we can do something similar. So thanks again. And all awesome. Of today's show notes, information about how to register for the micro-credentialing course and all of the amazing resources that Beyond Clean have will be on our show notes on our webpage at thescrublifepodcast.com. So we'll make sure to include all of that so that they know how to get in touch with you as well.
Sounds great. Yeah, appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Scrub Life podcast. If you like what you hear, please subscribe and share. We can be found on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at the Scrub Life podcast. Show notes for this episode, as well as past episodes, our contact information, and the virtual suggestion box can be found at our webpage, thescrublifepodcast.com. This has been Chris Blevins and Stephanie Austin with the Scrub Life Podcast. Until next time, be safe, support each other, and stay sterile.